ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 2 పాదా 3 వియద్ అధికరణం. నవియద శ్రుతేః అస్తితు గౌణ్య సంభవాత్ శబ్దాచ్చ శాచైకస్య బ్రహ్మశబ్దవత్ ప్రతిజ్ఞా అహానిహి అవ్యతిరేకా శబ్దేభ్యః యావద్ వికారం తు వికారో లోకవత్ మాతరిష్వాధికరణం. ఏతేన మాతరిష్వా వ్యాఖ్యాతః అసంభవాధికరణం. అసంభవస్తు సతోనుపపత్తేః తేజోధికరణం. తేజోతః తథాహ్యాహ అభధికరణం. ఆపః పృథివ్యధికరణం. పృథివీ అధికారరూపశబ్దాంతరేభ్యః తద్ అభిధ్యానాధికరణం. తద్ అభిధ్యానాదేవతు తల్లింగాత్ సహా. సో ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ 6 అధికరణంస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పాద Vyasacharya analyzed the Pancha Bhuta Utpatti, the creation of the 5 elements. So whatever seeming contradictions were in the Vedas, they have been resolved, and it is established that Brahman alone is the Upadhana Karanam of all creation, that is material cause of all creation. And all our clarifications for the tat padartha in the Mahavakyam tat tvam asi. So essence of entire Vedanta is explanation of Mahavakyam tat tvam asi. Thus the Vedanta centers around the tat pada, tvam pada, asi pada, and Brahman is the sakshat karanam of akasha, and through akasha all the 4 other elements are also born directly or indirectly through Brahma. We saw all this in the last class. And with this, the Pancha Bhuta Utpatti Prakaranam is over. We have concluded that the 5 Pancha Bhutas have come in a gradual order. Akasha and the other elements are born out of Brahman. Akasha is born directly, and all others are born out of Brahman indirectly. Brahman is the cause for creation of all the 5 elements, Panchabhutas. Therefore, Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam Bhavati, the Pratijna Vakya. We have discussed the material cause, and then what about the intelligent cause, the Nimitta Karanam of creation? Here, Vyasacharya discusses the Nimitta Karanam in general and Panchabhuta Srishti in particular. And here also we have Purvapakshi, who says that there is a contradiction in the Upanishad with respect to Nimitta Karanam, and so it is unreliable of knowledge, source of knowledge, and so it is apramana. That is his contention. Purvapakshi has always that contention. And Taittiriya Upanishad, 2nd chapter, 6th mantra says that Ishvara or Sagunam Brahman is the intelligent cause of creation, and Ishvara visualized and created everything through his mere sankalpa. So kamayata bahusyam prajayeyeti satapotapyata satapastaptva idagum sarvam asrijata yaditam kincha tat srishtva tadeva nupravishat. So this maya sahitam brahma saha akamayata desired, and he willed, and Ishvara created everything by his mere sankalpa shakti. Brahman is sarva nimitta karanam or karta, instrumental cause of the entire creation. Ishvara sankalpam is called tapas here. Tapas here means the very visualization of all the punya papa karmas that is sufficient for the creation of the entire universe and the panchabhutas. This visualization of Brahma, the Saguna Ishvara. And Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, 2nd section, 3rd mantra. This also, all these mantras we have seen. And the second, 3rd mantra and the 4th mantra of this section says, Tadaikshata bahusyam praja yeyeti tattejo srijata tatteja aikshata bahusyam praja yeyeti tadapo srijata tasmadyatra kvachashochati sveda teva purushaha tejasa evam tadadhyapo jayante ta apaikshanta bahvyahasyamam praja yemahiti ta annama srijanta tasmadyatra kvachavarshati tadeva bhuyishtam annam bhavati adhya evam tadadhyannadhyam jayate. We saw the meaning of this sloka also earlier. So Brahman visualized and created fire. Then Agni visualized and created Jalam. So Brahman visualized and Brahma created means there is no problem. Visualization is the clue for intelligent cause of all creation. Visualization is intelligent cause. Then the Upanishad says, Tad Aikshata, the fire visualized the creation of water. Agni is Jalasya Nimitta Karanam, the Nimitta Karanam for water. Chandogya Upanishad could have just kept quiet. But it says, for the Prithivi Srishti, Jalam visualized the creation of earth. Meaning of Annam is earth. That we have already seen established in the previous Adhikaranam. The meaning of Annam here is earth, Prithivi. Therefore, Prithivi Srishti Nimitta Karanam is Jala. Therefore, there is a confusion of Jalasya Nimitta Karanam is Brahman or Agni. The instrumental cause of creation of Jalam, water, is it Agni or Brahman? There is a confusion. And because of this contradiction, Purvapakshi says, do not read the Upanishad. And Ekadeshi wants to establish the validity of the Upanishad and takes a wrong method as usual and says, Brahman is not Nimitta Karanam for Jalam, but it is Agni. And Jalam is the Nimitta Karanam for Prithivi. And for this wrong resolution, Ekadeshi has his own Pramana also. Every time he quotes some Shruti or the other. First reason he gives is the Shruti Pramana. The Taittiriya Shruti clearly states, Agni produced water. Agni Rapaha, which produced Prithivi. So, Apa Prithivi. So, second argument he gives is, Chetanatvat, Agni and Jalam mentioned in the Upanishad are the visualizers of their products and they are not the inert elements, but they are Agni or Jala Devatas. So if you think Agni and Jalam are inert, then they cannot visualize. They should be a Chetana Tattvam. So it refers to not the Jada Agni, but it refers to the Jala Devata, Agni Devata. Therefore, Agni Devata is the cause of Jalam and Jala Devata is the cause of Prithivi. That is what this Ekadeshi's argument. Now, Siddhanti comes and he has to establish Nimitta Karanam and refute both Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi. And here Vyasacharya points out that Ishvara or Sagunam Brahman alone is the visualizer and creator of all the five elements, including Jalam and Prithivi. Why? Because Taittiriya Upanishad very clearly says, that is given in the Upanishad. Then how come the Upanishad refers to Agni and Jalam as visualizers in Chandogya Upanishad? Taittiriya Shruti says, okay, but Chandogya does, it says differently. Why? It says Agni created water and water created Prithivi. There is no mention of Akasha and Vayu. And Vyasacharya says, Ishvara is present everywhere, including the five elements. Therefore, Ishvara is present in Agni also. Therefore, when the Upanishad says Agni visualized, it means Agni Antaryami Bhuta Ishvara alone visualized. Not just Agni Devata. Agni Antaryami Bhuta Ishvara alone visualized. So here Agni means it is not Agni Devata, but Ishvara alone. Similarly, when the water visualized means, it does not mean water Devata, but it is Antaryami Bhuta Ishvara only. And how do you know that Antaryami Bhut, Antaryami is in Jalam and Agni? How do we know that? Vyasacharya says, I have to take the Shruti Pramanam only for that also. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 7th section, 5th mantra, it is the Antaryami Brahmanam. So we have seen that in elaborate detail at that time. And it says, Yognautishtanna Agnir Antaroyam Agnirna Vedayas Yagnihi Shariram Yognim Antaroyam Ayati Yeshata Atma Atmani Antaryami Amrtaha Atma Antaryami Amrtaha. So the one who dwells in the fire and yet is within the fire, whom the fire does not know, Antaryami Devata, Agni Devata, fire doesn't know, whose body is the fire, who controls the fire as Antaryami from within, he is your own self, the inner controller, the immortal, the Antaryami Amrutaha immortal. So in Panchabhutas, we should know there are three factors in every Bhuta, every element. One is the visible Agni factor or Vayu factor or Jalam factor, which is Jadam. And the second is the invisible Agni Devata factor, which is Chetanam, sentient. And the third one is the invisible Antaryami factor, which is Ishvara. So there is a Jada Agni, then Agni Devata, Chetana Agni Devata, and there is a Chetanam Antaryami. So Ishvara is also Chetanam. So there are two Chetanams and one Achetana. And we do not see Agni Devata and Antaryami Ishvara, we do not see in the fire. One is the Shariram, that is Jada Agni. Next is Jiva, that is the Devata. You should remember, Devatas are also only exalted Jivas, I have already mentioned many times. And the third is Antaryami Ishvara. This is very clearly said in Antaryami Brahmana of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So the Antaryami is very much there within Agni and Vayu and water and everything. And that Antaryami cannot be objectified or known even by the Agni Devata. Agni Devata is an Alpajna Jivaha only, exalted Jiva, but maybe with some more powers than an ordinary Jiva. It is a post, it is a position acquired by Punya Papa only. Some Punyas he has acquired that position. Agni Devata is not Nimitta Karanam, but is only a Karya Bhutaha. It's only a product. And other than Agni Devata, Ishvara is there as inner controller in all these elements. So when the Upanishad says Agni visualized, it means we should take the Ishvara, the Agni Antaryami alone. The same Antaryami is there in all the elements. So the same argument is extended to the Jalam also. This is the general analysis. And now we will go to the word analysis of this sutra. What is the sutra? Tat abhidhyana devatu tallingat saha. This 13th sutra, third part, second adhyaya. 229th running Brahma Sutra. Tu means however, tu saha eva, indeed. Saha refers to Ishvaraha or Sagunam Brahman eva. Eva alone creates everything, should be supplied. Tat abhidhyanat. How? By visualizing the products because of reflection or volition. Tad lingat, as indicated by the Vedic references to Parameshwara. This is just the running meaning. Now we have to see the significance of each of the words. Saha. Saha refers to Sagunam Brahman Ishvara. Eva refers to emphasis. So Sagunam Brahman Eva, Sagunam Brahman alone is the Nimitta Karana. And in the previous Adhikaranam, Upadana Karanam was mentioned. And here it is emphasized that Sagunam Brahman is also the creator of everything as Nimitta Karanam. And Tad Abhidhyanam. Tad Abhidhyanam has two words. One is Tad. Tad refers to the Karyam, Agni, Jalam, Prithivi, all those. And Abhidhyanam means visualization. So Ishvara alone is the intelligent cause of everything. Even when Agni visualized, we should interpret it as Antaryami Ishvara in Agni visualized. It is not the Jada Agni visualized. It is the Antaryami Ishvara in Agni visualized. Tallingat, it consists of also two words, namely Tal represents to Parameshwara and Lingat represents the references, the Vedic references. So reference to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Antaryami Brahmanam is indicated here, third chapter, seventh section, third mantra. With this sutra portion is over. Now we have to answer the Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi. Agni is intelligent cause for water, Jalam, and Jalam is the intelligent cause for earth, Prithivi. And Shruti says Agni visualized. And when Shruti says Agni visualized, we should know which of the three parts refers to Jada Agni or Devata Agni or Antaryami Agni. We cannot just accept some statement. We should be able to logically analyze and understand. And we argue that we should take only Antaryami and not Achetana Agni and Agni Devata also. Agni Devata, why? Alpajnyatva. Agni Devata is not Sarvajnaha. Only Ishvara only is Sarvajnaha. Agni Devata is Alpajnaha only, limited knowledge. Enough to create the universe, that much knowledge has, that's all. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Name Vidusura Ganaha, Prabhavam Namaharshayaha, Ahama Adirhi Devanam, Maharshinam Cha Sarvashaha. So neither the hosts of gods, all these Suraganaha, nor the great sages, Maharshayaha, know any origin of me at all, because I am the source of the gods and the great sages also, in every way, Krishna says. Therefore, neither the Achetana Agni nor the Chetana Agni Devata can visualize, but only Chetana Antaryami alone can visualize. So mere Chetanatvam is not enough to become intelligent caste. You should be careful. Mere Chetanatvam is not adequate to become intelligent caste. Then we can also create. We are also Chetanavastu. So Chetanatva Matram cannot create everything, and this is not there with Agni Devata also. There is no contradiction between Chandogya Upanishad and Taittiriya Upanishad. Ishvara located in Agni alone created the universe, and therefore there is no contradiction, and Shruti is Pramana. With this, the seventh Adhikaranam is over. Now let us go to the next Adhikaranam. Eighth Adhikaranam, Viparyadhikaranam. Viparyayena tu kramaha ataha upapadyate cha. This is a sutra. Viparyayena tu kramaha ataha upapadyate cha. 14th sutra, 230th running Krama Sutra. Here it talks about the order. Order in which the elements are withdrawn, not created. This is Pralaya. The order in which the elements are withdrawn into Brahman during Pralaya or dissolution. It is the reverse of the order in which they were created. That's what this sutra says. So the process of dissolution of the elements is described in this sutra. So this Adhikaranam is also a small Adhikaranam with only one sutra. And this Adhikaranam is an aside Adhikaranam, we can say, incidental Adhikaranam. Even though it is not required for the flow of our discussion. Because what is our discussion? Panchabhuta Srishti is our discussion. So if the topic is not required, why it is ordered in the Brahma Sutra? Why talk about Pralaya here? Because we are talking about Srishti. What is not required for flow, is it important at all? Is the question. Why it is added here? The flow of our discussion is all five bhutas are born out of Brahman. That is the discussion. So the five elements are created in order, in gradation, and in Sanskrit it is called Krama Srishtihi. There is a Krama. There is an order. And the next point is, the Krama also is as mentioned in the Shastra. It is not any random order. The Shastra mentions the order. And now the incidental question is, if this is the Krama, this is the order, then is there a Krama in Pralayam? If there is a Krama in Srishti, is there a Krama in Pralayam also, in dissolution also? And if there is Krama, what is that Krama? That is the question. This is the incidental topic which can occur in the mind of the teacher and the student both. And in this Adhikaranam, we don't have three levels. That is Purvapakshi, Ekadeshi and Siddhanta are not there. Purvapakshi says there is no Krama. the whole creation simultaneously goes out of existence. So at the time of pralayam, entire creation just goes out of existence according to Purvapakshi. But as Siddhanti says, there is an order, there is a krama in pralayam also. And once we say that there is a krama, then the question is, what is that krama? And Vyasacharya says that the opposite order of Srishti is the laya krama. In whatever order Srishti was there, that is from Brahman Akasha, Kem Akasha, Vayuhu Vayu, Ragni, Apne, Rapaha, Adhya, Prithivi, that is that order. And Vyasacharya says the opposite order is the krama at the time of pralaya. That means Prithivi resolves into water and water resolves into Agni. Agni will resolve into air and air will resolve into space and space finally will resolve into Brahma. So that is the reverse order. Now let us do the general analysis of this Adhikarana. Viparita Krama has to be accepted. That alone is logical thing to happen that we have to understand. Even though Srishti in that order, the krama for pralaya should be viparita krama, means the opposite order. That only is logical. We have to understand that it is logical because we have seen in the akasha is karana and vayu is karya. Akasha vayu, we have told. So akasha is karana, vayu is karya. Suppose the resolution also happens in the same order. That means what? Akasha will have to resolve first. And even after that, Vayu has to continue. Vayu being a karyam of Akasha, it cannot exist without Akasha the Karanam. Vayu exists depending on the Karanam, namely Akasha. Because every product depends on the Karanam. On the other hand, Vayu can resolve and Akasha can continue. If it is other way, even if Vayu resolves, Akasha can continue because Akasha has no dependency on Vayu at all. Logically, we have to accept this order only. And Shankaracharya says that there may not be Upanishad Vakyam, but Bhagavatam and other Puranas, Smriti Granthas, they support this order. The Viparita Krama, they are, even though Shruti Vakyams may not be there, but they are all supported in the Smritis. Now let us do the word analysis. The word tu means during pralayam, however. During pralayam is what we are talking about, however. Kramaha, the order of resolution, viparyayena ataha, is opposed to this, is opposed to this srishti, srishti krama, viparyayena, or contrary to this. Upapadyate cha, it is also reasonable to assume that way, to think that way, logical to think that way. Now let us do the significance of the words. Viparyayena kramaha. The order of dissolution, laya krama, is contrary. Viparyayena kramaha, contrary, is reverse or opposite to the order of srishti creation. Akasha, vayu, apaha, etc. That is the srishti krama. Its opposite is pralaya krama. Tu means however. On the other hand, upapadyate. It is reasonable also, even though it is the reverse order, it is logical also. Jalam cannot resolve before Prithivi, and Prithivi alone can resolve into Jalam, and Jalam can survive. He has not given any Shruti support for that. Vyasacharya has not given any Shruti support for that. As I said, this is only an aside adhikaranam, or in Sanskrit is called prasangika adhikaranam. For that also, there will be always some like reason and all this will be given. Prasangika adhikarana. Prasangaha means incidental discussion is prasangaha. So the definition of an incidental topic is what? For that also there is a definition. What is an incidental topic? Smritasya anupekshyatvam prasangatvam. Smritasya anupekshyatvam prasangatvam. The main principle of teaching is what? The teacher should not deviate too much from the main flow of topic. Normally, sometimes we go and, you know, gloat over all other things apart from the main topic. Because if he deviates, the teacher may not forget the main topic perhaps, but the chances are the students, they lose sight of the main topic. And often, this also we have seen many times, students remember they deviate the topic only more, including the jokes in the topic in the part. and forget the main topic. But this will not be easy for the teacher, because by the law of association, some incidental disconnected topics also flash in the mind of the teacher. And then it is the job of the teacher to suppress all such flashes and delete them from not telling during the lecture or the class. But sometimes a topic flashes, it is not directly connected to the main flow of topic, but at the same time, the topic is important enough not to delete. So the teacher will be very much tempted to definitely say that. So this undeletable deviation topic is called incidental topic. Here, Smritasya, the teacher remembers that as a flash. So in spite of suppressing many others, this being an incidental topic, but still it is important enough for him not to miss it. So he remembers that as a flash. And therefore, the teacher gives them anupekshyatvam. It cannot be deleted. That is called prasangaha. Here, what is the topic? Srishtikrama is the topic. The topic of creation. And what is the remembered flash topic here? Layakrama. The order of layam, pralayam, dissolution. So layakrama is not part of this pada at all in Brahma Sutra. But still, when Srishtikrama is talked about, layakrama is incidental, at the same time an unavoidable topic. And therefore Vyasacharya introduces an adhikarana for this prasanga topic. And what is the layakrama? The order of pralaya is exactly opposite of the order of srishti. And we do not have any shruti pramanam for this, I already taught. But there are many smriti pramanams. Vyasacharya doesn't give them. And many Puranas deal with this. And Shankaracharya gives a smriti pramanam from Mahabharata. Mahabharata in the Shanti Parva. Mahabharatam is called Sapadrakshaka Grantham. Supposed to have 1,25,000 shlokas. Very huge grantha it is. And in the 12th chapter, 39th section, 29th shloka, it says, Jagat Pratishta Devarshe Prithivi Apsu Praliyate Jyotishi Apa Praliyante Jyoti Jyotihi Vayo Praliyate Jagat Pratishta Devarshe. This is not relevant to us, that particular, those two words. It is just an addressing. Who is being addressed here? Maybe Narada Maharishi is addressed, because he is the Triloka Sanchari, Sarva Vyapi. So he is being addressed here. So, he Rishehe, he Narada. Prithivi Apsu Praliyate. The earth resolves into the waters. Jyotishi Apaha Praliyante. The waters resolve into Agni. And Jyotihi Vayo Praliyate. Agni resolves into Vayu and continuing. So Vayu resolves into Akasha, Akasha resolves into Brahma. So because of this Smriti Pramana, and also logically also Yukti Pramana, which we saw earlier, Layakrama is supposed to Shusrishti Krama. So this is aside Adhikaranam, but just an incidental topic. With this, the 8th Adhikaranam is also over. Now let us go into the 9th Adhikaranam. The 9th Adhikaranam is called Antara Vijnana Adhikaranam. It has also got one sutra. Antara Vijnana Manasi Kramena Tallingaditi Chetu Navisheshat is the sutra. Antara Vijnana Manasi Kramena Tallingaditi Chetu Navisheshat. 15th sutra, 231 running Brahma Sutra. First, let us see a general introduction to this Adhikaranam with only one sutra. This is the 9th Adhikaranam, and that too a small one with only one sutra. This is called Antara Vijnana Adhikaranam, because the sutra starts with that word, Antara Vijnana Manasi. So it is called Antara Vijnana Adhikaranam. And in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya discusses the origination of some of the organs of the body. Until now, what was talked about? The Srishti creation of the five elements, Pancha Bhuta Srishti alone was talked about so far. Both the Upadana Karana, Nimitta Karana, both we saw. Then what about the creation of the Jnanendriyas, the Karmendriyas, Manaha, Pranaha, all that? And with respect to that, there can be doubts which can be clarified in this Adhikaran. That is the reason Vyasacharya includes this Adhikaran. And in this Adhikaranam also, we see again three levels of discussion: Purvapakshi, Ekadeshi, and Siddhanti. As usual, Purvapakshi has got one agenda. And what is the agenda? To point out contradiction in Shruti. Therefore, Shruti is unreliable. Therefore, Shruti is apramanam. It is virodha. Virodhate apramanya apatihi. By Purvapakshi's argument. And then Ekadeshi comes and he tries to resolve the contradiction, but in an inappropriate way. We already told. His intention is good, but his manner of justification is wrong. Then Siddhanti comes and he sets it right. So what are the Shruti statements now kept in mind? The first one is the Taittiriya Shruti, which we have seen many times. Tasmad vaye tasmad aka atmanaha akasha sambhutaha akashat vayu vayu ragnihi agnerapaha adhya prithvi and all that. And from the Paramatma, the five elements are created. Panchabhuta Sritti is talked about, beginning with Akasha. This is Shruti number one, quoted by Purvapakshi himself. Understand? Not this, not Siddhanti quoting, Purvapakshi quoting. Then another Shruti statement he himself takes is from Mundaka Upanishad. This also we have seen. Etasma jayate pranaha manasarvendriyani cha khamva ayurjyoti rapaha prithivi vishvasya dharini. Etasmat, from this Paramatma alone, jayate pranaha manaha sarvendriyani. Instead of beginning with panchabhutas, five elements, Mundaka Upanishad begins with the organs of the body. All these pranaha, manaha, sarvendriyani, pranaha, manas, indriyas, jnanendriyas and karmendriyas, all of them. And the Shruti has stopped with this, it would have been safe. Why? We can at least supply and manage. Before that, no, this we have to supply, as we many times say during the our interpretations of this sutras, also we supply. So we can manage that way. So first five elements were made and then the organs were created. We could have just supplied it. But what does the Shruti do? After the enumeration of the organs, it talks of the five elements in the second line of the mantra. What is the second line? Kham vayuhu jyotihi apaha prithivi vishvasya dharini. Kham refers to akasha. Then vayu, jyotihi, fire, apaha, prithivi. Therefore, karana utpatti anantaram, after creation of the five or of the various organs, bhuta utpatti, the elemental utpatti, panchabhuta utpatti is said in the Upanishad. So in Mundaka Upanishad, bhuta utpatti is not the first one. It is a later phenomenon. Whereas in Taittiriya Upanishad, bhuta utpatti comes in the beginning itself. And therefore, there is contradiction in the order of creation of elements. And Purvapakshi says, because of this contradiction, Shruti is unreliable and therefore Shruti is apramanya. It's not a praman. Now comes Ekadeshi, the good man. His intention, as I told you, is to resolve the contradiction. And therefore he says, you have to go by Mundaka Upanishad only. And that is only correct. Which means first the karanas are produced, the organs are produced. And thereafter only elements are produced. And when we ask the question, what about the Taittiriya Upanishad then? He says it is very simple. In Taittiriya Upanishad, before Akasha, you supply the Karana Utpatti. When you can supply Akasha and Vayu in Chandogya, why don't you supply here? Shruti just left it and you can supply. Therefore, you have to supply Karana Utpatti before elemental Utpatti. Tat anantaram Akasha Sambhutaha. After the utpatti of the organs. And if you ask him, how can you do all such mischief? Then what does he say? He says, haven't you done this the same thing earlier? When we talk of Chandogya Upanishad, it mentions only three elements. Agni Srishti, Jala Srishti and Prithivi Srishti only. Akasha and Vayu was not told at all. Tadaikshata bahusyam praja yeyeti tat tejo asrujata. First tejaha, Agni, that alone was created. No Akasha or Vayu. Tat teja aikshatam bahusyam praja yeyeti tatapo srijatam. Then from that apaha came. సో తైత్రి ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ ఆకాశ వాయు అగ్ని జలం అండ్ పృథివీ, వెరాస్ దిస్ సేస్ ఓన్లీ అగ్ని జలం అండ్ పృథివీ. హౌ డు యూ రీకన్సైల్ ఇన్ ద చాందోగ్య? యూ చోస్ టు ఇంట్రడ్యూస్ బిఫోర్ అగ్ని అండ్ సృష్టి, యూ సప్లైడ్ ఆకాశ అండ్ వాయు, వాయు సృష్టి, యూ సప్లైడ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. హౌ? బై బారోయింగ్ దమ్ ఫ్రమ్ తైత్రి ఉపనిషత్. సో ఇఫ్ చాందోగ్య ఉపనిషత్ క్యాన్ బారో అండ్ తైత్రి ఉపనిషత్ క్యాన్ లెండ్, వీ క్యాన్ తైత్రి ఉపనిషత్ బారో ఆల్సో అండ్ ముండక ఉపనిషత్ క్యాన్ లెండ్ టుగెదర్, దే క్యాన్ బి సప్లైడ్ టు చాందోగ్య ఆల్సో. దట్ ఈస్ హిస్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్. దెర్ఫోర్ ద సృష్టి క్రమ విల్ బి కరణ ఉత్పత్తి ఫస్ట్, ఆర్గన్స్ ఫస్ట్, దెన్ పంచభూత ఉత్పత్తి. దిస్ ఈస్ ద ఏకదేశి మతం. దెన్ వ్యాసాచార్య గివ్స్ ది సిద్ధాంత వ్యూ ఇన్ ది సూత్ర. Now let us come to the general analysis of this sutra. This sutra has two portions, and the first portion of the sutra relates to ekadeshi mata. Then the later portion relates to siddhanta. Ekadeshi says that you have to supply karana utpatti before akasha utpatti. Karana is organs, indriyas and all. So between Brahman and Akasha, you have to insert karana utpatti like manasa, manaha, indriyani, prana and all that thing based on the above mundaka vakya, mundaka upanishad vakya. And Vyasacharya answers no to the ekadeshi matam's argument. In case of Chandogya Upanishad, we do accept Akasha and Vayu to be supplied before Agni. That is true. Shankaracharya says that all karanas are, they are what? All the organs are only the products of the five elements. Elementals are karanams and elements are bhutam. Bhutam are the elements, whereas elements are all karanams. They are all the products of the bhutas only. Since karanas are born out of elements, therefore after elements only they can be born. The order of the elementals will be the same as the order of elements. And after Akasha, only Shrotriya Srishti is possible. The ears. We need not separately discuss Karana Krama because it is the same. Karana Krama means the order of organs, Srishti of organs. Because it is the same as the Bhuta Krama, how the Bhutas came, the same order. So Shruti support for this is taken from Chandogya Upanishad. Fifth chapter, sixth chapter, fifth section, fourth mantra. And how it says, annamayagum ki somya manaham apomayaha pranaha tejo mayi vagiti buya eva mam bhagavan vijnapayat iti tata somyeti ho vacham. Mind consists of food, breath consists of water, speech consists of heat. In fact, this mantra is repeated several times. Prithivi is responsible for nourishment of mind, water for prana, agni for vag, and all that thing. So the three elements, they alone nourish and maintain the instruments, karana, all those organs. Therefore, the order is what now? Five elements, and thereafter alone, the karanams will come. So elemental srishti is first, panchabhuta srishti, and then only all the indriyas, karanams and all will come. And Ekadeshi points out the Mundaka Upanishad mantra that we will see later. Now let us do the word analysis. Here antara means between Brahman and Akasha. Vijnana manasi refers to the intellect and mind. They originate, we have to supply. Kramena, in the order of succession. Tallingad, as indicated by such Shruti references. I mentioned all this lingad and all earlier. Na, it is not so. Avisheshat, because of that non-difference. I just only gave the meaning. This is the running meaning. Now we have the word meaning. Now we will see the significance of these words. Antara means between Brahman and Brahma Akasha Yoho Madhye, between Brahman and Akasha, the origination of organs need not be separately dealt with, but it is identical with the elements, the Panjabhutas. It is identical with the Bhuta Utpatti Kramaha. We don't have to separately talk about it at all, because they are products of the Bhutas only. Now we have to handle the Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi. First, we will handle the Ekadeshi. Mundakopanishad talks about the Karana Utpatti first, that we already read that mantra. For that, our answer is what? You cannot blindly supply, but find out whether it is logically correct or not. Do not just supply because it is not there. You can supply only when it is logically correct. In the case of Chandogya Upanishad, we could supply Vayu and Akasha Srishti because both of them were logically correct to say that they are born before Agni. In the case of Karana Utpatti, we cannot supply that because logically Karanam cannot be born before the elements are born, because Karanams are modified form of elements only. They are only the Vikaras or the Panjabhutas. Can we make, for example, chapati before making wheat? We have to grow wheat to make chapati later. It is illogical. So also, Karanams cannot be created before elements. In Mundaka Upanishad, the order of creation is not given, but it gives the list of elements created. These are all important discussion. In Mundaka Upanishad, the order of creation is not given, but it gives only the list of elements, the enumeration of the elements. The logical order is not given, it only enumerates. The logical order is always superior to enumeration order. Therefore, we have to take the correct order of what is given in the Mundaka Upanishad. Purvapakshi says that there is Shruti contradiction. And Mundaka Upanishad does not give logical order, and it is only an enumeration order. All these things are produced, not logically. We say Mundaka Upanishad is not interested in logical order. When Purvapakshi makes this accusation, we say Mundaka Upanishad doesn't care about the logical order, but it only cares about the enumeration. Why? In Mundaka Upanishad, the question of the student is what? Eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam. That is the question of the student. How by knowing one thing you know everything? And Upanishad says, has to say, everything is product of Brahman. If that pratignya vakyam has to be true, the only answer is everything else is only product of Brahman. Whatever be the order, and the order is immaterial here. Whatever may be the order, they all should be products of Brahman only. Eka vijnanena sarva vijnana pratijna, then only will be validated. Therefore, Mundaka Upanishad does not think of order at all. Therefore, there is no contradiction, is the Siddhanti's answer. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. 10th adhikaranam, charachara vyapashraya adhikaranam. Charachara vyapashrayastu syatim. Tadvyapadeshah bhaktah tadbhava bhavitvat. Charachara vyapashrayastu syatim tadvyapadeshah bhaktah tadbhava bhavitvat. 16th sutra, 232nd running Brahma sutra. The essential nature or character of the individual soul is discussed here. The essential nature or character. So we will give the general analysis of this, general introduction to the adhikaranam, even though this adhikaranam is important adhikaranam. First, to give the general introduction to this adhikaranam with only one sutra. So up to the 9th adhikaranam of this pada, Vyasacharya analyzed two topics. What are the two topics? Number one, bhuta utpatti shruti virodha pariharaha. So whatever may be the contradictions for the bhuta utpatti was discussed. Then jiva utpatti shruti virodha pariharaha, that also was discussed. And he established that there is no shruti virodha at all, no contradiction at all. And also he indirectly revealed that Brahman is the cause of all the elements and the elementals. He also established the maxim. What is that? Jagat karanam Brahman, and also gave the explanation for the tatpada in the Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi. Tatra Vastu Brahman. So Bhuta Utpatti means origination of the five elements. And we find that there are seemingly contradictory statements in Shruti with regard to the origination of five elements. This has been discussed from the first sutra to the 15th sutra of this pada. So Karana Shrishti also was discussed along with the Bhuta Shrishti. We already saw that. From this Adhikaranam onwards, up to the 17th Adhikaranam, it deals with Jiva Srishti. Jiva Srishti Shruti Virodha Parihara. That is resolving the seeming contradiction with respect to the origination of the Jiva. Not the elements, but the Jiva. So while dealing with the Jiva Srishti, it indirectly presents Jiva Swarupam also, so that it is useful for our grand design of Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Understand that. That is the grand design of the entire Brahma Sutra. Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is. That is the sadhana for moksha prapti. So the 10th and the 11th Adhikaranams, in these two Adhikaranams, the topics are similar and also very close. And Vyasacharya wants to present 3 points here. What are the 3 points? Number one, birth and death are there in the body, in the primary sense of the term. So when you say birth and death, it applies to the body as the primary sense of the term. And the same birth and death are there for Jiva, not in primary sense, but in an apparent sense. When you talk about the Jiva, birth and death of the Jiva is not in the primary sense of the term, but only in apparent figurative sense. And the third one, point he presents is, Jiva does not have Janma and Maranam in the primary sense. Jiva does not have Janma, birth and Maranam, death, the primary sense itself. So these are the three things. So birth and death, they are there in the body, in the primary sense. Birth and death are there for Jiva in figurative sense, not in the primary sense. So Jiva does not have Janma and Maranam in the primary sense. Now let us see a general analysis of this Adhikarana. Here we see Jivasya Utpatti. Utpatti means the creation of Jivas. Now we will discuss 3 points, all the 3 points that I just mentioned, presented by Vyasacharya. So with respect to the body is used in the primary sense because body is subject to birth and death. This we experience physically. This is with respect to the body. Body has birth and death. With regard to Jivatma, the word birth is used only in a secondary or figurative sense because Jivatma is not subject to birth and death. Jivatma consists of what? Consists of Sukshma Shariram plus Chidabhasa Akarana Shariram plus Chidabhasa, the reflected Chaitanyam, Chit. Now, we know that Jivatma does not die at all. And Jivatma acquires Punya Papa and exhausts them through physical body as a medium, and the physical body dies. Jivatma does not die, but travels from one body to another. The bundle of Sukshma Shariram, including the Manas, Karana Shariram, and the Jivatma bundle, this Chidabhasa Chaitanyam. They quit the present body and take to another body in the next Janma. Jivatma only travels and does not die. It leaves the body. We use the word death to Jivatma because when the body dies, even though Jivatma survives, it cannot transact. All the Sukham and Dukkha Anubhavas, they are all suspended. For experience of karma, contact with the world is required. World alone can give you Sukham and Dukham. To experience the world, a physical body is required. And since that body is gone, dead, buried, cremated, Jivatma cannot do any transaction at all or interact with the world. Sukshma Shariram, neither can Jivatma contact, nor the world can contact with the Jivatma. So the Jivatma is as good as non-existent. Body is dead, and therefore, in primary sense, the Jivatma is as though dead because it is not able to transact. This is the second point. And the third point is that the word death cannot be used in the case of Jivatma in the primary sense at all. In reality, Jivatma does not have birth and death, and Jivatma is Nityaha Bhavati. Is Nityaha, eternal. Since Jivatma and Paramatma are both eternal, we say Jivatma is Paramatma. So Karana Karya Sambandha is not possible between the two eternal things. Karana Karya Sambandha can be between two, one Karanam and Karyam. Karyam is product dependent vastu. But when both are eternal, there could be no Karana Karya Sambandha. If one is Karanam and another is Karyam, then since Karyam is born, one is eternal, the other is ephemeral. Jivatma is not product of Paramatma, since Jivatma is eternal Paramatma. This is Advaita Siddhanta. The relationship is what? Aikya Sambandha. The oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. Jivatma is, in real sense, is not born. So the first two points are discussed in the present Adhikaranam that I just said. And here also we have Purvapakshim, Ekadeshim and Siddhanta Matams. Here also we point out that the contradictions in Jiva Srishti. Therefore, Veda is Apramanam for Purvapakshim. Because he will say when there is a contradiction, he will say Veda is Apramanam. It's not Pramanam. Who quotes seemingly contradictory statements, Vedas. And we will see two examples. One example is from Kathopanishad. All these mantras, they are all elaborately discussed in our Upanishad discussions. Please refer to that one. Good practice to do that. So in Kathopanishad, first chapter, second section, 18th mantra, Atma is unborn. He said this is a very popular shloka. We have quoted many times. Gita also borrowed this shloka. Na jagyate mriyate va vipaschit nayam kutaschinna babhuva kaschit अजो नित्य शाश्वतोयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे. This is the Kathopanishad vakyam. Atma is unborn, na jayate. And the second example is from Taittiriya Upanishad, third chapter Bhrigavalli, first canto. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayantya visamvishanti tad vijignasasva tad brahmeti satapotapyatam satapastapva. Here it says jiva is born out of Brahman. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. Therefore, Veda is unreliable. In one place it says jiva is not born, najayate mriyate vakadasti. Here it says it is born. So it is contradicting, so it cannot be reliable. This is Purvapakshi. Then Ekadeshi comes and he tells jiva is born really. Here, this real and real, we are going to be playing with words. So, I hope you will be closely with me. The Ekadeshi comes and he tells, Jiva is born really. And that means there is unreal birth also. And for that, he gives the reason of Shruti Vakyam. And the second reason, this is the Shruti Vakyam is one reason. And the second reason he gives is that Veda prescribes varieties of samskaras, karmas, that indicate Jiva's birth and death. Garbhadanam, Pumsavanam, Simantonayanam, Jadakarma, Namakarma, all those things, they talk about birth, Antyeshti, death. So various rituals are prescribed for the baby before and after birth. And this Ekadeshi asks, if Jiva is not born, why should there be so many samskaras? Why should be so many rituals? All ritual samskaras are for Jivatma, born Jivatma only. The whole world accepts that living beings are born and gone. And it is an universally accepted fact. All living beings are born and gone. Because of these reasons, Shruti Vakyam, Laukika Prasiddhi and experience. Based on all these, they contend that Jiva is definitely born. Then Siddhanta will give its conclusion. Vyasacharya emphasizes two points mentioned in the beginning, that the words can be used in primary sense only with regard to the body. I mentioned in the three points that Vyasacharya mentioned. I said this first one, the word can be used in primary sense only with regard to the body, the birth. The body alone is born and gone in the primary sense. With respect to Jivatma, words Jivatma, birth, death, can be taken figuratively only. Entering the body is taken as birth. And only when body is there, Jivatma can do something. And in the absence of the body, Jivatma cannot do anything. It needs a medium. Since Jivatma is not useful, it is as good as death. When the physical body goes, Jivatma cannot do any transaction. It's not useful. It's as good as dead. So it's figurative death. Now let us do the word analysis. And there are several words in this sutra. Two means, however, tad vyapadeshaha, the usage of the words birth and death is with regard to the moving and the stationary bodies. Chara achara. Tad vyapadeshaha, the usage of the words birth and death. Syat bhaktaha. Bhaktaha means figurative with respect to jiva. That usage is a figurative usage. Tad bhava bhavitvat. Since they exist only from the standpoint of birth and death of the body. This is just the word meaning. Now let us see the significance, because word meaning cannot communicate what the Upanishad, the sutra intends. So we have to see the significance of the words. Tu means however. It is to differentiate. However what? However, it is to differentiate the topic from Pancha Bhuta Srishti and Jiva Srishti. Tad Vyapadeshaha. The usage of the word, the Shabda Prayoga, the word you use to describe. Those two words, Utpatti Nasha Shabda Prayogaha, the birth and death, Utpatti birth, Nasha death. So the Shabda Prayoga, usage of these two words. Charachara Vipashrayaha, with respect to or associated with, connected to or being with Chara. Chara means moving bodies, all the animals, human bodies, and Achara, non-moving bodies, plants, trees and all that. They do not move. Do not move from one place to another. That's what it means. Body is the object of the word birth and death. Or the word birth and death, the object is body. Whatever body. Syat bhaktaha. The word bhaktaha means figurative. The word birth and death, they have only figurative meaning, and then we supply with respect to jiva. So they have real meaning, primary meaning with respect to body. But they have only figurative meaning with respect to jivatma. In the context of jivatma, birth and death are bhaktaha. Bhaktaha means gaunaha, figurative. Tadbhava. Tadbhava means the existence of birth and death for the body. Janma marana bhavaha. That bhavaha. The existence of birth and death for jivatma. That means the existence of birth and death for jivatma is only from the point of body's birth. Not jivatma's birth. Body's birth and death only. And therefore, we have only a figurative expression, bhaktaha. And it is transferred birth and death. It is not real birth and death for the jivatma. It's a transferred birth and death when the body dies, you say figuratively. So we call it incidental and not intrinsic death of the jivatma. Syat, syat means it is. It is figurative. Syat bhaktaha, figurative. Now we have to answer Ekadeshi and Purvapakshi. Ekadeshi says, jivatma is born, no doubt, because of three reasons. First one is Upanishad says jivatma is born. No doubt Upanishad says, but it is figurative sense from the point of view of body alone and not from the body of point of jivatma. And thus there is no contradiction. It's only figurative sense. And for the performance of samskaras also, we say it is only from the standpoint of shariram. All samskaras are for what? For the body. That is why we have no samskaras for the animals. The sentient things only. Finally, the laukika prasiddhi. It is also from the loka drishti also. Because everyone looks at jiva from the body alone. Purvapakshi is also negated from the same point alone. Ekadeshi is negated, Purvapakshi also negated, same reason. One talks of seeming birth and one talks of real birth. Unborn and unreally born. That's what I mentioned to you earlier. The real born and all that thing, that we have to understand. Unborn and unreally born relate to the same stage. Then Shankaracharya quotes the Brihadani Upanishad mantra 4.3.8, 4th chapter, 3rd section, 8th mantra, Swayam Jyoti Brahmana. Sava ayam purushaham ajayamanaham shariram abhisampadhyamanaham papmabihi sagum srijyate sa utkraman mriyamanaham papmano vijahati. This purusha is born, and the Upanishad says that jivatma acquires a physical body. Jivatma's birth is not the origination, but only the acquisition of the body. The same mantra says the death of Jivatma is Utkraman. Utkramanam. Saham Utkraman Mriyamanaha. It does not end, it's not the end of the Jivatma, but it is leaving of the Jivatma. Utkramanam leaves the present body. So Maranam is only a prayanam. It is only quitting the body, and it is not the destruction of Jivatma. With this, the 10th Adhikaranam is also over. Now we will see the 11th Adhikaranam in tomorrow, next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratittitah tasya prakritilinasya yaparasya maheshwarah purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti 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 Sri Krishna.